Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to hour number two with Randy Drew and James Wright, Milwaukee legends in athletics and also education. But we're going to blend and merge the two in this second hour of The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir. This is 101.7 The Truth Radio. And before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to our sponsors. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. And if you're part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family Insurance helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. Fellas, what Milwaukee neighborhood deserves more investment in recreation?
In recreation? I don't know. I'm not sure how strategically spaced out with, you know, I always go back to Boys and Girls Club centers or just centers for kids.
Yeah, speaking of the mic.
Oh, centers for kids to get off the streets. So yeah. To say what area needs more, I'm not really sure. I know we need more, you know, metroplexes or plexes in the city that people can hold more, you know, events, tournaments, basketballs.
Because we got the yard out there.
Yeah, but that's all that's all, you know, on the outskirts. It's not in the city.
Yeah.
You know, it's not in the city.
New Berlin, like, you know, OAW, like we're going everywhere else now.
Yeah.
And that's building up the economy because we're paying to go out there.
Spend money with them,
their gas, their hotels, like they're hosting these tournaments and
And even going from your neighborhood and on, let's say, 44th and Burleigh, 39th and Burleigh, the Meadows, you're going out to these neighborhoods and you're looking at these all these homes. And as you're traveling from, you know, a home on the Meadows or wherever to from the inner city to the suburban homes, you're looking like, okay, well, that home looks valuable and viable enough for me to purchase and or move into. Mm-hmm. So not only are you seeing it as an athlete, but the coaches are seeing it that are taking you out there, and they're thinking like, man, I can actually move out here and do, you know, community work. From I can take these athletes out here and invest their time in these communities versus the one that I need to invest in my community, right?
Yeah, I think people get comfortable. And it's a culture shock, you know, coming from the inner city and, you know, James working out in the suburban school, I'm working out in the suburban school.
Yeah.
It is like night and day when it comes to resources and things that get allocated to certain areas and just the opportunities given, you know, to a certain demographic. And I mean, whether it's purposeful or not, there is a part of you that kind of be like, man, you know, you wish you could give back more in another way. But me being a 220 kid, like I said, growing up, I had to catch a bus 45 minutes to an hour every day to school.
Oh, wow.
You know, so coming up, like I said, my parents gave me the best upbringing. I wouldn't trade it for nothing, you know. But when you go out there and you start seeing these homes in Bayside, and Fox Point, and River Hills, and Glendale, and Whitefish Bay, it's a different environment. You're seeing a different, you know, scenery.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think that was also part of the thing that, you know, for me, and I think a lot of athletes, because we all didn't come from just dire needs and crack babies. Right. That situation for me.
Yeah.
And for a lot of us. But I think it also motivated me to say one day I want that as well.
Yeah.
Or why can't I have that one day? Or I start traveling and you start talking to people who got money. And I'm in NFL locker rooms when I was a rookie and talking to dudes and they telling me stuff. It's like, these things are viable, man.
It can happen.
What are you going to, what vehicle are you going to use to get there? That's the thing.
And I think a lot of people, when they look at a black athlete and the stereotype of a black athlete, like, we came from these, you're right, dire situations, but they don't realize that, like, our parents, no matter what was going on in their life, they were well-meaning parents. So, for example, like, you know, some people, the stereotype of black parents don't read to their kids, or black parents don't have books in the home. Black parents have books in the home. They read a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we actually discussed some of these books, too.
Yep.
And, you know, even especially back then, you know, prior to the prevalence of social media, like, our parents were doing the best that they could.
Yeah. I agree.
So what about you? What what neighborhood you think deserves more investment?
I think the whole
This is a shout out to the mayor. We're going to have the mayor on the I know we're going to talk about that later on.
But I think more like the Boys and Girls Clubs, man. Yeah. I think like just getting that back going, man, because our kids are in dire needs, man. Like they want to do stuff, but now it's limited. Mm. You know, the Boys and Girls Club was an outlet, man. I mean, and even with the athletics, you were going to different Boys and Girls Clubs to compete, per your area that you stayed in.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them have partnered with the schools, but I just think it's not enough, man, because they're actually – everyone's leaving. They're trying to get out because they want their kids to be able to utilize the resources in other places. Or some people are just in a city and they have to go – an hour, 45 minutes, an hour away just to utilize their resources.
Yeah.
And so not having anything in the city or having anything, like I think they talking about the data center in Midtown, mm-hmm. that need to be a Boys and Girls Club.
Easily.
That need to be, it's right there in the middle. It's 10 minutes away from every part of the city.
Yeah.
To host things there, man. But we just got to get things in place so far as security, so far as mentors, all those different things. Mm-hmm. To come back into the area. I think that's what that area should be used for. It's transit. You can get there. Mm. You know, you can take a bus. You can ride your bike. It's 10 minutes, 11 away from every place in the city right there, in that Midtown area right there.
Yeah. It literally sits almost in the middle of the city.
That's why it's called Midtown.
Yeah.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah. That's deep. What's one thing that Milwaukee gets wrong about youth sports, though?
Gets wrong?
Yeah.
That's a deep question. So many different sports, man.
Because you also play soccer. So you played dual sports at the same exact time.
Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing more and more, you know, basketball talent, if anything, coming out of Milwaukee right now. I think we booming with just, and again, to James' point, resources.
Yeah.
A lot of NBA cats, high level college guys are coming back and training now and getting involved with kids younger and younger, and it's becoming a thing. You know, shout out Chapman.
Mike Taylor.
Shout out to Mike Taylor. We got to call in Mike, 833-212-1017.
He loved Milwaukee like no other. You know, Chapman, his thing, he got a whole gang. Ooh, he got about 75 teams. I mean, but there's so many people coming back.
Yeah.
And they getting the stuff that me and James was talking about now. See, now we talking to the kids, but now they getting that from maybe a couple cats up under us at a younger age and getting it now. So now you got kids again, you know, they training at 11, 10 right. and doing these things and getting that. So, I mean, I don't think Milwaukee got anything wrong. I think we need to provide more resources.
Yeah.
Like James said, we need more stuff in the city. And I, you know, not to say I'm all in it, but like in the city where we don't have to travel to Franklin or out to Port Washington or out to
New Berlin
and Waukesha to center court to play game, you know, when it could be some stuff more centralized that's giving people and families, you know, allowing them to travel together, watch their kids play. And it's just it makes more sense, you know. But, you know, with the way the economy is and the way things are going, you know, we kind of veering from that. But mm-hmm. we need to provide just more opportunities and outlets for kids inside the city.
Do you think as a black man, are you providing the best, and this is a kind of an introspective question, but do you think you're providing the best service for our children, or do you feel like you can do a lot more?
Now that's deep. And I can speak for myself only to this point. I mean, I go above and beyond.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to gauge what that is per person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can do what I can do.
Yeah.
But yours and Randy's might be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in my scope, I'm going above and beyond for those things. And it's deep because you have families too.
Yeah.
And within that time frame and under that umbrella, you're trying to, you know, multitask everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always looking for a better way to do something. Like, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
But I'm still always looking for something that I know that can help.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, as you evolve as a man, things change. When I was younger, I did a lot of stuff. You know, I had time to do things like that. I remember when I worked for the CLC program, and one of my favorite students, I remember he was going to prom. You know, I bought him his first tuxedo for prom. Like, those are things that made me proud.
Yes.
But as we get older, and to James' point, we get families and we got different responsibilities. Mm-hmm. We're interjecting ourselves in a different manner. So, right.
Leading by example.
By example. So I always think, to James' point, I think I do a lot of my camp. That I've been running, coming up on year 11 for my African American youth camp that we run.
Ooh,
in Concordia.
Man, that's deep time.
I love that camp. I mean, I'm 44, man. I'm still staying on campus at night with the kids, man. Getting up and sleeping on the little twin bed, and because it means that much to me.
Yeah.
So I do feel that way, but I also feel like because of our athletic prowess, like James was saying and you were saying, Manon, even though we do feel like we're going above me, we probably still think like, I can still change that. I can make a difference with that. You know, you start stretching yourself then. And then you got to get reined back in because now the twins is calling James and stuff.
Yeah, stuff.
You know, my twins, my son, my daughter,
yeah.
You know, their mother, anybody ask me, I need to be there. I need to do something. I got to be at a recital. I got to be at a graduation. I got to, you know, you got to balance your life out. So it's a fine line.
So I want to talk about this, but with Giannis being traded, we put a lot of emphasis on athletes. Is you think his responsibility was, and this could be, of course, your opinion, but like, do you think it was his responsibility to stay because he brought so much business to Milwaukee, or do you think, man, you know, go get yours?
I don't think it was his responsibility. Dog, he got a family.
Yeah,
he got to do what's right for him. He came to the city and far exceeded what anybody thought that he even was supposed to do. The man brought us a championship. That man, like, he built infrastructure downtown. He's created platforms and pathways for inner city youth.
Great jobs. Even the stuff he's doing for the summer, man.
Yeah.
He's great.
What we spoke about earlier, like, out of all the pros, you know, being around, he made it. He was intentional about the Giannis effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about the Vince Carter effect in Canada, Michael Jordan effect in Chicago. I think what he brought and these people seen is what we embraced him because of that, which the industrial, the hard working.
Right.
He came in as hard working, and then he got right down, got his family involved.
Mm.
But then he got involved with our city, man. And anybody that understand their position to do that, I give respect for him, man, because the things that we were asking for is what he came and did. And these guys are getting paid these millions and billions that are in those platforms to do so.
Mm. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna take a quick break. And we'll come right back. But I'm gonna want to ask a few questions about childhood obesity and and fighting childhood obesity, especially in Milwaukee, Bruce City. Hey, you all, take a break. Come back to the Grapevine. Yes, 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 and we're back with Randy Drew and James Wright. Hey, what's the biggest mistake that parents make with their young athletes? What's the biggest mistake?
Candy. Candy, man. Candy and soda.
Hey, y'all. Hey, listeners, if you listen, this is the question. What is the biggest mistake parents can make with young athletes? We're going to put this up on the poll. 833-212-1017. 833-212-1017. What is the biggest mistake parents can make with young athletes? We're gonna put it out on the chat. But go ahead.
Living through their kids, man.
Living through their kids and holding candy.
Them accountable. Not, I mean, with candy, but you talking about obesity? Why? Just talking about in general.
In general.
And I say all the time, man. You see people, and this is not a shot at nobody, but you see individuals who have not played their own chosen sport at a high level.
Yeah.
And they putting their kid through the grind at 10, 11, 12, and living through them when, you know, I think, you know, that causes early burnout or injury,
mm-hmm.
A bad relationship between you and your child.
Yep.
You know, like I said, I'm a firm believer. Hard work pays dividends. There's nothing like it, intentional hard work. But a lot of special things that happen when people and a lot of special talents, that's going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
God-given stuff going to take care of itself one way or another.
Yeah.
What you do on the backside when ain't nobody watching is what enhances it.
Mm.
So you can be 6'10",
yeah,
and trash,
mm-hmm.
or you can be 6'10", trash, and we see you in 2 years. Now you a 5-star,
right?
You know, like, and that's all because of what you're doing. Ain't nobody
that
watching.
Discipline and working, that integrity piece, that that you raised your bar,
mm-hmm.
And to the point where he said, you're not, the parent can't make you go in there.
Right.
Like, I can always tell right away when, you know, the parent is setting it up. Oh, we got to drop off here. We got to drop up. We got to pick them up there. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
At what point are you saying, hey, let me ride my bike over here? Yep. Or are you making that call? Hey, I want to get to the gym.
Yep.
Can you pick me up? Coach, what time the gym is open?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the ones that separated because they want it.
Yep.
And
not because the parent wants it.
Not because we set up their lives. We set up for them to have it better than us.
Yeah.
But it still has to be that separation to say, hey, okay. Like my son now, I say, dog, I'm not going to keep doing push-ups with you.
Yeah.
Like, at what point are you going to do this on your, like, you got to do this on your own.
Right.
You know, so that goes a long way, man. But trying to live through them, it's tough, man, because we all want what's best for them, what we think is best for them.
Correct.
But what helped me as a coach parent, I had to have trial and error with other parents and their kids.
Yep.
First, because I would have a parent and say, oh, man, my kid's soft, man. Da-da-da-da, man, he's soft, man. I don't know if I want to hoop no more. Da-da-da-da. And I had to really pull him to the side, and I had to tell him, hey, man, do you want a relationship with your son?
Yep.
Because the sports is going to stop.
Yep.
But let me ask you this question. How did he get here?
Yeah.
You picked him up and you're dropping him off, right?
Yeah.
How did we get to that? We rode the bus, we walked. Those things that build the callus for you to become, to build that toughness, every play set that's set for him, you set it up.
That's right.
So there's been no point where he can or she can get a feeling of if this is what I want to do, mm-hmm. but also to learn the groove outside of you being around.
Yeah.
So we got to be so careful with that because, like, the sport stopped.
Yeah.
Me and our relationship, we wanted to go. And one thing about a kid, you don't want to tarnish that because later they grow with that.
Mm-hmm.
They grow with that, and it can take some time to repair it because you came down on them. Do this. Rah.
Right.
And they like, well, I really didn't want to do this. And if you would have paid attention to me outside of what you wanted me to do, you would have known that.
You support them and not control them.
That's right.
You support them and control them. It don't take me nothing to show up to your game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But what you do in the game, now we can have conversations.
Because
I've been with you when you've worked on something and you've been doing this. You and Dad, I'm trying to do this. I'm like, man, I ain't see you do none of that in the game.
Right.
It ain't about failing. You know, you fail, you can't get better. You don't know what your capabilities are until you try it and fail.
That's right.
Or you try it and you do it.
That's right.
That's probably how people end up dunking one day. One day, James probably looked at the rim and said, man, you know what? Man, I can dunk. And you go do it, and you try it, and you dunk. And now you ain't never missed a dunk after that because you know you can do it.
I'm telling you, it's funny you say that, man. But that's how I started.
Let me ask you a question. So about dunking, we can, like, hit the rim.
I dunked once in my life.
Really?
Give me some credit, man.
So, okay. And I believe him because them athletes, man, he one of those dudes you keep telling me he can't do something.
You're going to go do it.
But what's funny is I started dunking at 5'8".
Really?
So I started, man. That's why I say it can happen. All the conversations we're having right now can happen. I remember in sixth grade saying, I want to touch the net.
Yeah.
I started running, touching the net. Next you know, I was touching the middle of the net.
Yeah.
Then next you know, I was touching the rim.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is a 5'6", 5'5", person taught me how to dunk.
Really?
Eddie Jones taught me how to dunk. And I was 5'8", 5'9", then.
Mm.
And so once it did that, then I had a growth spurt. So you got this speed with it. And, you know, I was a gymnastics dude. I was flipping the soccer and all that. And it just kind of, once you get that energy of that, man, it ain't no turning back.
Oh, I got a bunch of questions. So let me ask you a question. When you first dunked, you know, we got that part.
Yeah.
Who was the person that you dunked on?
So, man, it's crazy.
No, I'm talking about the ugly dunk.
I'm talking about
ugly dunk. You dunked on somebody first, like, yeah, I got it.
My first dunk was a Sports Center top 10 dunk when I was 13.
What?
Guy, Jimmy Bates.
Yeah.
It was a guy, man. We was in NCSL League up in Vincent High School.
Yeah.
And I had just learned how to dunk, and me and my cousin, we talking about what we going to do if we get on a fast break. I get a steal. And he was a high flyer. I didn't know who he was at that time. He was older. We were playing 18U. I was playing up.
Right.
And, you know, shot blockers, he timed me going from this side, like jogging, like he was going to time it. I'm like, no, I'm dunking this. I know all I know, man. And I gathered my speed. Boom! And it was like four other games going on at the same time. I didn't even know it was an and one. Like, his leg, he was wrapped around me, and I dunked. It came down. I was running to go back
yeah.
to the other end. And, man, I'm talking about all the games stopped, man. You know, at Vincent at that time, they had each court.
Yep. Yeah.
All the games stopped, man. Like, everybody ran onto our court like, dog, do you know what you just did? You know who that is?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't care. Like, that was my first dunk, man. So my cousin, Hype, we said we was going to do it. So it was crazy, man. But I think I was 13, maybe 14. 13 going on 14.
That's crazy. Is it useful to play multiple sports? Because when you were talking about how you class sports for kids, not just multiple, you know, sports, like organized sports, just sports in general.
Yeah, because you're cross training.
Yep.
You know, if you playing soccer, you're working on your footwork. If you playing football, you're working on agility and your hand-eye coordination. If you playing basketball, you're using different muscles or the same muscles in different ways.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I mean, you're starting to see, I'll use baseball. I'm not even a huge baseball guy, but you're starting to see kids in high school having Tommy John surgery or shoulder surgery because they throwing 1,000 baseballs a summer.
Right.
Yep. They pitching all day. Now they got things like pitch counts stuff. Again, I'm not no baseball guy.
Right.
But you got people who, they wake up, they in the batting cage, go home, they wake, go back up, they throwing 100 pitches, they wake, they come, and they just doing it for one sport. Or you got kids who wake up in the gym, dribbling, shooting, move. And now you got these kids who, like I said, either A, burnt out.
They're not durable.
Or they injury because they're overworking the same muscle in the same manner for years and years and years.
Yeah. So they not flipping. They not wrestling. They're not cross training. None of that.
Yeah.
Because everybody got their mindset on you gonna be a basketball player. Yep. You gonna be a boxer. And I'm not. Yep. And some of those kids make it.
Yeah.
Some do.
Yeah.
But it's more that don't.
Yep.
It's more kids that don't. And those are the kids that I worry about is because if you put all your eggs in the basket because from fifth grade to ninth grade, you was the best thing smoking.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, somebody had a growth spurt and caught you.
Yeah.
And now everything, because that's your world.
That's your world.
How you gonna go from the best to the mid of the pack or worse?
Fast, strong, like all those things. And it's crazy because boys really grow till they're 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whether it's mentally IQ-wise, strength, speed, or one of those things happen for us. Or like I grew an inch and a half in college.
Mm.
Like we really do go to that time frame, and that's the difference. The little dude who everybody talking about ranked, he in eighth grade, but he got a grown man body.
Yeah,
we sit back and I'm telling my son now, I'm like, man, don't you worry about that.
Right,
I don't want you being good early right now.
Why?
Let's take it a little bit at a time. Just learn, just compete. But we're not gonna put. We're gonna cross train. We're gonna do track. You go skate. You go ride the skateboard. You go swim. You're gonna like because now these kids like we set it up for them.
Yeah.
You go to pay for the trainer, they go to their sport, then they go home and they done for the day.
For the day.
Yeah. I'm like, dog, it's 8 more hours or 6 more hours, especially in the summertime. We finna go hit the hill. We finna go ride the bikes. Mm-hmm. Like all those things that build that flexibility. I think about the muscles go both ways.
Yep.
You know, but if you stuck on that sport, as Randy said, you know, it's only one way. That's why when these guys get these injuries, things that would take us a week, 6 to 8 weeks for everybody else because it's that scar tissue is going one way.
Yep.
You haven't broke it both ways to keep it durable.
Hey, I got to. So when you guys were training and going through the things that you're going through with your careers and stuff like that, hip hop played a big role. And I know we've seen all genres of hip hop from like late 80s, 90s, you know, 2000s up to now. Hip hop, especially if I look at what I went through as an athlete, I know hip hop and music was something I used to actually help prepare me. Like, but we do it in every genre, you know. Look, James Brown, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, whoever else was going on at that time, right? Like, it was all of this, you know, correlation, this parallel with music and sports. When we come back, I want to ask you guys a question. How did music influence your career, and how can we use that to help influence the kids now? But when we come back, you guys, we got Randy, Drew, and James Wright going into our last part of the interview. We're going to ask them these rapid fire questions at the end too. I want to test their mettle. Let's take this break. Hey, y'all. Welcome back. We're about to pick some more grapes off the grapevine with Randy Drew and James Wright. Closing the achievement gap. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So
talk about that,
man. The CAGC, man. So this, I've been in Whitefish Bay going on 13. So probably about like 11 or 12 years ago, man. I was in work one day and two men that mean a lot to me, mentors, Dr. Damon Means, who is the superintendent of Wauwatosa School Districts, and Dr. Elliot Moser, who was my superintendent and principal when I was at Nicolet. They was there for a meeting talking about the closing achievement gap. I had no idea. So when they was walking out, they was like, I got something for you, so make sure you get in contact with me.
Yeah.
So the closing achievement gap started with about four schools. I don't want to start naming a bunch of districts and get it wrong, but and the whole premise was, how can we get our black and brown students in predominantly white schools to fare better educationally in school? How can we improve their time? How can we improve their environments and their just experience in these schools? Because a lot of the times people think, and we all doing better now, but people think, you know, I'm going to take my kid and put them out here so they can be safe. They ain't got to worry about this and about that. And it's a fine line with that.
Because
I tell people all the time, you know, first of all, it's good if you live in that community.
Right.
And if you want to send your student to a predominantly white school, in my opinion, as a black man, you got to make sure you're ready to do school with your kid. And what I mean by that is you got to be there.
Yeah.
They got a band concert. They got a basketball game. They got a swim meet. They got a debate tournament. They on the chess team. They in the play.
Yes.
Volunteer PT. Whatever you got to do, you want to be visible.
Yeah.
Involved, and you got to be visible so people can know that your student is not alone.
Right.
And they won't get ran over. So we started this camp. When it first started, it was the African American Youth Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But it first started with just boys.
Yeah.
And then we kind of blew it up, and now it's boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
The African American Youth Initiative, I think we got around 40 school districts that are part of the CAGC, the Closing the Achievement Gap Consortium.
Yeah.
Man, so we do 3 days, two nights at Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
With the kids, we try to give them a real college experience, living in dorms, getting to know people that you don't know, programming from local people who want to come talk and pour into our kids, take them on field trips. And I love it because, you know, we're talking about all these things that me and James doing and what you do is being athletes, because a lot of stuff I used to do was always connected to athletics.
Right.
This ain't got nothing to do with athletics.
Wow.
This is all about, and I love it, it's all about empowering kids so they can see.
It's dope, man.
A Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright. Go find Mr. Wright. Go talk to Mr. Wright.
Yep.
Like, I'm telling them that when we meet him. Go find him. And he don't know, well, he know now, but he don't know the impact that he's having on kids that they can walk through. They may not even talk to him.
Yeah.
But to see Mr. Wright in the hallway is a big deal for black and brown kids in predominantly white schools.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Being an advocate, man. Like, it's some stuff that's different that's going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of families do a disservice because they think because it's safe and it's a good school, the drop-off is good enough.
Yeah. They ain't got to walk in.
They ain't got to walk in.
Your shirt says show up.
Man, it's big, man.
Yeah.
It's big. Because now, with me being there now, they're like, hey, who is this email from? This Mr. Wright or Coach Wright? Because I'm pushing your kid.
Yeah.
Hey, you can sign up for this AP class. This is what's going on here. But also, come talk to me.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you my background and why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kids are smart.
Yep.
But they don't want to be pushed.
Yeah.
They don't, like, as long as you're not creating any problems, it's fine. Nobody's going to say, hey, sign up for this, sign up for that.
Right.
Or get involved with this. As long as you're quiet and you're just getting your grades, it's cool.
What do you guys say to the parent that, you know, advocates for the drop off? I drop my son, daughter off. You know, they do their sports at 2:20, wherever, and they have to go to work. Busy parent.
Yeah.
I got an answer in my head, but what would you say to that particular parent?
Make the time.
Mm.
Get that schedule. One thing that these 2:20 schools and a lot of these schools have is they overly communicate. You can go on the website. You can go on a calendar. You can be added to stuff. So every time something is going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the kids, you have to do it because the kids, nobody wants their parent just around.
Right.
They ain't going to say, hey, dad, can you come to this? Some do, some don't.
Right.
But most of them, they just want to be with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are involved do better.
Yeah.
They come in for those fires. They're like, hey, they got a parent. Oh, this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they don't want, you know, so. Just show up and get involved. Like, I don't care if it's once out the month or something, but show that presence. Be that presence.
What would you guys say to the kid that's What would you guys say to the kid that's overweight, obese, maybe, you know, we call him whatever name. What would you say to that particular kid that's at home? They're listening to this. They don't want to call in, but or the parent doesn't want to call in. They're on the video games, and school is coming up. They want them to go and participate in, you know, a sport. They want them to talk to you guys.
Get involved. Get involved. James said it. Get involved.
Get involved.
He says something that's strong, and he said it because I always use that as an example. A lot of people think that when you go to school every day and, like, James, you don't cause no waves, you know, you're a decent student, you under the radar. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones we got to look out for.
Yes.
Those are the ones, the quiet ones who think they quit because they're living in a quote-unquote hell.
Yeah. Yep. Mentally on their own. Yeah. They dealing with it.
They not enjoying their time. Yeah. School should be a time that you can think back on and be like, man, I remember, I have fond memories of high school. Mm-hmm. And now we all had our own paths, right?
Yeah.
Star jock. I was a jock, you know, this and that. Yeah. Did good in school. Could have did better in the classroom if I'd have been, you know, a lot of things. But, like, those are the kids, like, find your community. Like, working in a high school, one thing I always see is, like, kids find their community. Kids find their niche.
Right.
They find what works for them. If it's 5 people or if it's 100 people, they find the people they gel with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to make sure that your kid go to school and they got somebody in that building that they jam with.
Because
that's how you get motivated. That's how you start doing stuff.
And peers, that's what helped it. Your peers pretty much run everything. We can say what we say.
Yeah.
But that leadership from a peer is what's going to carry. Mm-hmm. What we, in Nicolet right now, we got the strength conditioning program going on. And this is the most kids we had in the summer. At first, it was more athletes that were signed up.
Yeah.
But I'm telling these athletes, hey, get your friend. Come on out here so we can exercise. We can have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be around these people and hear these conversations of what you should be eating, what you shouldn't be. It's to the point now that the athletes, and it's funny, that they have a soda or something.
Yeah.
And they walking near me and they're like, hey, no, he's going to pour it out. Don't go there. Because now they're starting to speak the language. Hey, that ain't what we should be doing. Like,
right.
Let's get healthy. So just having those people in conversations.
So the NIL, this is a big deal. Oh, the NIL is a big deal. Having money readily available for these kids, a lot of these parents, to your point, are pushing for their kids to, you know, not diversify in a sport, but actually intensify the particular sport that they feel that the kid is, you know, has progress and prowess in. What do you feel? Do you feel like? Do you feel kids should get paid? I mean, and now these NIL deals are real. This real money. It's not your Vegas, you know, kind of you know, gambling money. It's like real money.
So think about this. That kid is getting paid, right?
Yeah.
Let's think about the payee.
Mm-hmm.
How much are they getting? If they got enough to pay you.
Right.
It's kind of, I'm jealous of it more because, like we spoke about earlier, it's about image and likeness, right? Mm-hmm. How you, your character, how you carry yourself, if you were marketable.
Yeah.
You should. If somebody's benefiting off of your likeness or you being a part of it, almost down to the college stuff,
mm-hmm.
you should get something of it. Most people would like to say, oh, well, you're getting an education. That was a big thing at first. That's a big argument. You're getting an education, that's enough. That's a job, man.
Yeah.
That's a job.
Yeah.
And that you getting paid with your countering it with your education.
Right.
So you're going to school and you're still going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So your pay is that, but someone is getting paid 10 times more than what you're getting.
While you're playing.
While you're playing.
Would you guys like to have... Oh. If you guys have any... I've been reminded. If you guys have any questions, comments, and or concerns for Randy Drew and James Wright, please give us a call, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. These brothers are experts, and I say experts, not in just athletics, but also education. So would you have liked to have been paid if you were in that position, when you were in that position?
Knowing what I know, yes.
Mm.
Of course. Money is money, of course.
Yes. Money is money, you know? Man.
Yeah.
It's just I wish it was regulated better.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had – sports has just turned into big business.
Yeah.
You know, and it's these kids are making adult choices
mm-hmm.
And don't know everything they need to make the right choices.
Right.
And they doing what any kid would do. Mm-hmm. White, black, brown, whatever. They chasing the money.
Right.
They chasing the money. But they, again, when we look on ESPN and we read and all these things, you're only reading about the 1 or 2% who really getting money.
Right.
Who are really transforming that into something or going pro.
Yeah.
You're not talking about the kids who are jam-packed in the transfer portal, chasing money, who never find a school, who end up dropping out of school and going to a junior college, getting stuck, all these things. They're not talking about those kids. Mm-hmm. It's way more stories of failure in that regard as opposed to kids getting money.
It's like anybody who's starting a business that don't have any business background. Yeah. You go burn up money trying to learn about it. Then what you if you went to school for business,
right?
And learn it. That's basically what it is. Because now that's what's happening. Just think about the people that are going broke that's been in the pros.
Yeah,
yeah.
These are first time people that's getting their hands on this money too.
So, and they're blowing it.
And they're
a lot of people blowing it by far. You guys know a lot of athletes that have went through you know millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
And are back at home.
Yep. Yep. It's back at square one.
That's humbling.
Yep.
I mean, I see both ways. I know guys who still doing well. You know, guys whose lifestyle has changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all trial and error. I will say this for the young men that are getting real money right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot more outlets because a lot of them, I just keep using James here right now. They have a lot more James Wrights in their life.
Yeah.
They have a lot more individuals like Manon Sabir. They have a lot more people that they can tap into.
Yes.
Family members who can say, hey, man. Go buy them 2 duplexes. Hey, man.
Yep.
You know, so they are in better situations. They would do way better with that type of money than I would do, you know, at that age. I'd be the first person to say it. But I wish they could regulate the transfer portal. I wish they could regulate and mandate that these kids are leaving with a piece of paper.
Right.
Instead of having kids on their 5th and 6th school.
Yep.
Chasing money. You
just play ball for 6 years.
Yeah, you play ball for 6 years. You ain't got a degree.
Yeah.
You a millionaire, though.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you still might be cool. But you done did all that.
Yep.
You don't even love the game no more. That's why, and to James' point, the pros are going to start losing bargaining chips because kids are opting to stay in school for another year. Oh, I ain't going to be in the first round. I just stay and make another $800,000 this year in college and do what I do. You know, like that's crazy to have that option when the whole goal was to get to the league.
When we come back, we're going to ask Randy and James our rapid-fire questions. We're going to come right back and pick some more grapes. Let's take this break. Yes, yes, we're back. We're going to pick some more grapes with Randy Drew and James Wright. Listen, y'all, we got a caller. What's up, caller? Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing, Steve?
I just wanted to give a shout-out to Randy. My son, Aaron, was on the, let's call it the COVID football team, the undefeated 8-0 during COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yes, sir.
At Whitefish Bay. And I tell you, Randy, he loved you. You were a great role model. I met you a couple of times.
What's your last name, sir?
And I love you, too. Pardon?
What's your last name?
Gallardi.
Oh, Aaron Gallardi. Yeah, Aaron. I just saw Aaron not too long ago.
Yeah. He's a good man, and you had a lot to do with it.
And I appreciate that for
those out there in the audience, Aaron is a black kid. We adopted him. And it's good, you know, I try to be a role model as a father, but it's good for even adopted black children to have someone of their own race and culture to be a role model.
Mm, I appreciate that.
Definitely.
That's deep.
Definitely.
Pretty cool, man. Thank you for doing that.
You did a great job with Aaron, too, man. I just saw him not too long ago, so I appreciate the call, Mr. Gallardi.
You know, I'll tell you, when I see him, sometimes I'll see him at the gym, and in front of everybody, hey, Dad, I love you. Gives me a big hug. That feels so good, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no, he's a great, he's funny too. Aaron is, he's super funny, but he's a great kid. He's doing good in life too. I've seen him at a few games. He's come back to the school.
Man, he dropped the call, but I think that having that level of, you know, gratefulness and thankfulness is what matters the most.
It goes back to your question you asked me and James earlier. Like, those are the instances where we just feel like I'm doing something. Because it'd be some days where, I'm sure James go through this too, man, you know, because he juggling 55 things in the air.
Yeah.
And you steadily trying to give each one the same attention and whatever, and you think you're doing something, you think you're not doing enough, and then you get a call like that, or you get a Happy Father's Day from, you know, 15 of his old players that he had. Like, those are the type of things. It's like, man, I meant that much.
Yeah.
That somebody texted me on Father's Day. I'm not their father, but, you know, I did this, or, you know, thank God,
a role.
You know, somebody called, you know, a student's father called in to say something about my impact on his son.
Right.
And when he was talking, I was thinking the same thing. Like, yeah, Aaron was adopted, you know, an adopted kid. And we had some real nice conversations in high school about, it's a little mini identity crisis. You know, he trying to figure out how he look and why nobody looks like him, or, you know, obviously he knows why, but he's just trying to navigate himself living in Whitefish Bay and coming into his own. And I remember the older he got, he started having these real candid conversations about who he was and how he felt.
Deep,
you know, you're not the small kid. You know, Aaron probably about 6 foot, you know, bigger black dude. Yeah. Was growing dreads at the time, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So all those stereotypes start kicking in because you start looking up saying, you're not the little, you turned into a man now.
Yeah.
So you can be in a situation where you live in a good neighborhood, you live in an amazing environment, and Whitefish Bay per capita is probably the richest in the state.
In the state, yep.
And you do all that type of stuff, and at the end of the day, you still can feel outcasted. You can still feel like you don't fit in.
Right.
And this man ain't had nothing to deal with like that.
Yeah.
But you would never know, because he's funny, he played sports, he was a great kid. Yeah. The whole time, he's trying to figure out who he is.
What do you guys do? What do you guys do in those, maybe not in those instances, after those instances where, you know, you're at home, you're juggling, you know, 55 things, and you're trying to bring it back to you. Like, you got relationships, you know, whatever it is, but your mask has to be put on. Your oxygen mask has to be put on. What are you saying to yourself? How do you rejuvenate you?
I'll let James answer that first.
Man, that's tough, man. That's tough, because this is something I'm working on now.
Mm-hmm.
More of being intentional about getting some time to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're at the age now where we're counting forward.
Yeah.
You know, we count our time forward, so we're trying to maximize every little part that we can.
Right.
And within that daily and that every day is blended.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more now is, like we were talking about the music or whatever, just finding a time where you can just have some you time.
Yeah.
So you can reflect, because we just go forward. Like, what we do, we don't really do it for us.
Yeah.
We're looking for, like, okay, how can we get better? How can we build a rapport better? How can we tap in? Like, so it's, but during that time, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And we back up at 5 or 6 or whatever the time frame that you could, because you got to get that time to where you can have your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're in the leadership positions, et cetera, that we're in, we're always thinking of everyone else.
Yeah.
So being intentional about finding that little time to decompress, like you have to do, because nobody checks on the, you know, the superheroes. No one really checks on them.
Yep.
We might get Father's Day, you know.
Yeah.
But a Coach's Day, like, we don't get a Coach's Day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think just making sure we're intentional of letting the people know how much we care,
mm-hmm.
that are close to us.
Yeah.
So it can kind of reflect to say, okay, I got to spend more time with this or on myself, because it's easy to let it go by the wayside caring for everyone else.
What about you, Randy?
Yeah, just finding that me time, man. I get up every day at 4:15, man, 4:30. And if I don't go to the gym, you know, that's the time I choose to reflect and try to rejuvenate.
Yeah.
You know, then also trying my best to, and like James kind of hit on this too, like, we give so much to other people unintentionally. That's just who we are, and that's in the business that we in.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of start slacking maybe from your own family or your own kids,
mm-hmm.
and things that you want to do. And that's something I try to be mindful. That's why, you know, I break my neck to get to one of my kids' events, games,
mm-hmm.
practices. If they call and say they want to go to a gym, you know, they want to go shoot a basket, they want to go to the weight room with me. Like, I try my best to monopolize in those times, because you know, you get up at 4:30, I ain't laying back down to maybe 11, like James said.
Yeah.
We on repeat.
Yeah.
So too much is given, as much required, you know what I'm saying? But you got to find that time. So my thing is making sure I get to my safe space, my therapy, which is just working out. That's my thing that I make sure I do for myself.
So what, when you enter the gym, and this is a period of time in which we're going to do a rapid fire, so I'm going to kind of blend the section that I didn't hit right now, which is when you get to the gym, what song is the first song you play in your headphones?
Man, I used to try to go for the hardest, you know, now.
It's changed now, man.
Let Usher play or something. I'm working out the R&B music.
I'm a Chris Brown, man. I might be in it, man. Like, it's changed. At first, it was no. It was man. Yeah. At first, it was No Limit. Like, Cash Money. Jigga, you know what I'm saying? But now, man, I say within the last 10 years, man, it's at peace. My emotions, it's at peace. Like, I'm in tune. Like, it's some R&B, man.
Yeah.
I might dance in between or something, you know?
And I'm usually in there by myself till about 5:30, close to 6. Then
right.
Some other cats start coming in with the little workout crew we got.
Right.
But, you know, I don't want to say bang, bang, shoot, but if one of them songs come on and you feeling it, it's all good, but I'm putting it on repeat.
Yeah.
If Usher come on or, you know, a little R&B, oldie throwbacks, I'm letting it play, man.
Maybe
that's our age. I ain't scared of that no
man,
more.
Man, I'm saying. I'm in touch with myself. I'm all right.
All right, so this is the rapid fire question. You answer it quick or not. Best hidden gem in Milwaukee.
Man, it used to be Hickman's Academy, man. That was the best. It's shut down now.
Yeah.
Sherman Park Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan.
Kobe or Jordan?
Jordan.
Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson?
Man.
I'm going to go with Tyson.
I like Tyson. I'm Tyson too, man.
I'm going to go with Tyson.
One name. Toughest athlete you ever met?
The toughest.
That I ever met?
Or played against?
Ooh. That's two different things. Yeah. So.
I met Magic Johnson in person before.
Yeah.
I met him in person before. I was a kid, though. Played against. I was a sophomore. I was a sophomore at NIU.
Yeah.
We played the University of Illinois, and Brandon Lloyd did a technique class on me that game. Brandon Lloyd, look him up. He played in the league for a long time. He was.
I would say Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson. Yeah. And last one, discipline or motivation?
Discipline.
Discipline.
Where can people find you?
Everywhere, man.
Everywhere, man.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I don't know my Instagram name.
Or they can come visit you at the school.
At the school, man. It's open. A lot of people come up. Nicolay High School, man.
Nicolay, Whitefish Bay.
Weight room. Yeah.
On the weekends, you can see us at Dream Lounge. You know what I'm saying? You might catch us at Dream Lounge on MLK if you want to slide through.
If you want to slide through, go to Dream Lounge.
Yeah,
Dream Lounge. During the week, if you want to catch Randy and James, you can catch James right at Nicolet, you can catch Randy at Whitefish Bay. Y'all, we're going to take a break. We're going to get out of here. We're going to let them go home, see their families. We're going to come back, and we're going to tackle some things on the grapevine. Let's take this break.